All hail the power of Jesus, name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem.
Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and the radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of this program, where we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on this program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. You know, I've seen a number of tracts and booklets that say, "Why I Left," and it's men giving their reasons for leaving a denomination and coming to the Lord's Church. And that got me to thinking, what they're really saying is why I left and became a Christian. It's an important decision, probably the biggest and the most of the one of the most, if not the most, difficult decision that you'll ever make in your life. So in our study this morning, I'd like to propose to you why I became a Christian. You know, there are a lot of hindrances to becoming a Christian. There are the sacrifices that I would have to make. There is the getting up to go to services. You know, I have to miss ball games and things of this world. Not really getting to sow my wild oats, as seems that that is a big deal with some folks. To become a Christian, you know, I'll not have nearly the time to do a lot of the things that I would normally be doing, or just to have this attitude in my mind that, well, you know, religion is for old folks. It's for those that are zealots. And I could have just said that, well, I'm okay, morally speaking. I'm not as bad as, you know. Then I start thinking and picturing people in my mind that I'm not as bad as. Or I could have used my own imperfections and say, well, you know, I know so-and-so, and they profess to be a Christian, and yet they do some things that I would never think of doing. Or I know there's a need for me to change, but what if I fail? You know, a lot of people want to wait until that time in their life when everything is just perfect, and then they're belief is that when they reach that point, they will obey. But friends, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, tells us that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So being a Christian, becoming a Christian, is the beginning of a new life. And when we sin, we can go to the Father, as John wrote in 1 John 2 and verse 1, "Little children, I write unto you that you sin not. But if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." So, putting those hindrances away, what are the reasons that I became a Christian? First of all, I have a soul. Jesus said in Matthew 16 and verse 26, "For what profit is it to a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what would he give in exchange for his soul?" So realizing I have a soul, there are two choices that I have. One is to think that, well, I'm just an animal, I'm a product of chance, or else I'm a human being with a soul. In 1 Thessalonians, here's what we read in chapter 5 and verse 23. He says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, there in the 28th verse, "Do not fear those that kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him that's able to destroy both soul and body in hell." What this means is that life does not end at the grave. It does for the body, but then there is that soul. The importance of the soul makes it greater than the body. So then, one of my reasons for becoming a Christian was the realization that I have a soul that will last beyond this body. Another reason I give for obeying the gospel is I believe that God exists. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says that without faith it's impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So again, I have two choices. Either God exists or God doesn't. And yet the facts are we exist, and the universe that we live in is complex, and despite all efforts to deny and to disprove, it shows design. In fact, we find in Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 3, it says in verse 4, "For every house is built by someone, but he built all things is God." See, not only does God exist, but God has loved us. In John 3:16, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." So I believe that God exists, and that was the reason for why I became a Christian. But I also became a Christian because I understand the difference between right and wrong. Moral training requires a standard of truth. No God means that there's no standard, but a standard means that God exists. In John 17:17, it says in the prayer when Jesus prayed to the Father to sanctify his disciples through thy truth, thy word is truth. And also, we read in John chapter 1, notice in verse 14, "And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth." These verses tell us the source of truth, the source of revelation. So sin and wrong is defined as transgression of God's law. That's clearly stated in the book of 1 John in chapter 3, when he says in verse 4, "Whosoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." And we all have sinned. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So I became a Christian because I understand the difference between right and wrong. But two, I also became a Christian because I understand the facts of death and judgment. You know, Hebrews 9 and verse 27 tells us it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. What that verse tells me to begin with is that it's appointed unto man to die, and I don't care whether a person is an atheist or what he is. No one denies the reality of death. We see it every day. We hear about it every day. Funeral homes are not going to go out of business. They're going to be in business when other businesses have folded. Death is undeniable. Well, as Hebrews 9 verse 27 tells us that it's appointed unto man once to die, it also tells us of another certainty. Just as sure as there is death, it's just as sure as there is to be a judgment. All of us will face the judgment. Jesus said this in John chapter 5 when he said in verse 28, Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming, in which all who are in the grave will hear his voice and come forth, those that have done good to the resurrection of life, those that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. We also read in 2 Corinthians, there in the 5th chapter, notice verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So, on that basis, we see that we're either condemned or just based upon understanding the difference in right and wrong. But there is hope. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But also I understand and became a Christian because I understand the grace and the love of God in Christ. The plan of salvation is a part of that grace that God has bestowed. In Ephesians chapter 3, it says in verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Man's redemption, man's salvation, was something in the mind of God before he ever laid the foundations of the earth. But it was not completely accomplished until Christ came into the world. We find that in Ephesians chapter 2, this statement, beginning with verse 4. Let's begin our reading. But God, that's rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he has loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, outside of Christ, we're lost. And so by looking at the book of Acts, I understood how to become a Christian. The gospel was preached, that faith was produced in some that heard the gospel, and in some that faith motivated them to be humble and obey the will of God. In the repenting of their sins, confessing Christ with their mouth to be the Son of God, and in every instance of one that heard and obeyed the gospel, they were baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. So it is then that I believe in being happy. And being a Christian is a personal choice that one either makes or he doesn't. So how about you? How about you? Would you not become a Christian and understand the things that we have understood, that you have a soul, that God exists, that there is a difference between right and wrong, to understand the facts of death and judgment, and to understand the love and the grace of God that he's bestowed upon us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Friends, we see your time is gone. We appreciate so much your listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. It's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day, and we now return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.